He is an award-winning columnist for the News and Observer. He's our good friend, Luke Dukak. Luke, what's going on, man?
I feel like I'm doing one of those old-school radio updates. Like, let's go to Luke Dukak in the press box in Charlotte. Well, Hayes, it's with 4:37 to go. The Wolfpack has just kicked an 18-yard field goal. 10-6 Maryland back to you.
Let me tell you, never agree to do one of those jobs. I did it one time. I think Gold used to do it. You used to be able to pick up extra money from like CBS. They would get people to do it, and so somebody asked me to do it one time. Man, they wanted them way too often, and they wanted you to like be there like 5 minutes before your hit. I was like, I barely watched the game. I was like, I was just looking at the score on my phone and telling them updates. This is terrible. I never want to do that again.
You still hear those guys at Panthers games or NFL games once in a while, because I think like Westwood One still does that. You know, let's go to Bob Smith in Green Bay. Well, the Packers have just picked up. Hey, I'm 15. All that kind of crap.
So, anyway, you
pulled me away from the riveting action.
You're a man on the scene. Did you get your personalized mayo jars of Duke Mayo? Didn't they give everyone a Maryland and an NC State Duke's Mayo jar?
Yes, I have a commemorative mayo jar, which, you know, I mean, it's not the shelf life of that. It's not like you're going to be able to give it to your grandkids or anything, but... I'm more interested. I want to get the Duke's Mayo mascot tubby for my wife's birthday party.
Okay, all right.
I've already started having conversations.
I have no doubt that you can make that happen, and I have no doubt that the 99.9 the fans, Joe Ovius and Joe Giglio, 25 years from now, will be cracking a Duke's Mayo bowl from like this year and spreading it for a video. I see that
I
happening.
I think it needs to be a little more epic game than we've had for it to be that memorable. But yes, I could totally see the Ovius and Giglio kids 50 years from now on the radio eating up 50-year-old jar of mayonnaise. Anyway, let's
probably talk some sports or something. Was this the best year of football for the state of North Carolina ever?
It's up there for sure. I mean, I think there are years where, some of Carolina's, you go back to the old days, Peach Bowl or State in the Peach Bowl, and that was a huge deal. I think some of that may have been bigger. But, yeah, I mean, collectively, we've never had four bowls, all four of the Big Four in bowls. We've never had, all four of those teams above 500, which, kind of stands in for bowls 50 years ago. NC Central won a bowl game.
East Carolina
won a bowl game. I mean, until Carolina lost Wednesday night, the state was, three for three. I think it's up there. What's missing, Hayes, I think, is just the lack of national competitiveness. There wasn't a top five team. There wasn't a top eight team. There wasn't that sort of standout team that, won an ACC championship or any of that. We've got to have that to really, get it over the top. Because the Triangle has won ACC championships before, just not really in our lifetime. So that's kind of, I think, what has to happen at some point. But, yeah, I mean, for all the schools in the state, Campbell beat Central. That's a huge win for Campbell. And there's other schools that made the 1AA playoffs, whatever we're calling it these days. I think it was a pretty good year for football. If State can finish this out with a win, and Carolina is the only blemish, and they lost by one to a good Oregon team, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I said the same. I figured I didn't feel like doing the research on this, but I figured if you added up the wins, it would if you went by that metric, if it's not the highest, it's got to be very, very close, just by virtue of all the 9 and 8 win seasons among all those different teams. And then App, who didn't go to a bowl, still got 6 wins, but that kind of feels like a disappointing season to them. So it was a weird flavor because, like you said,
they won September, Hayes.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, in a way, that kind of matters in college football, right? Because App State isn't expected to compete for the college football playoffs, so they're supposed to be interesting, knock off big teams, and then have crazy finishes. I feel like they played their role to a T. Even if App State fan out there would obviously rather see them winning the 9 and 10 win games and winning conference titles and things like that. Your most influential list came out. Armando Bacot on there. I won't read the whole thing, partly to encourage people to go check it out themselves. Mike Elko, the Duke football coach. How many years you've been doing this? And obviously, it's not a It's almost a brand new list every year. So it's not like if it was power rankings and you kept the list sustained, you know, Coach K would be number one every year and then people would move very little. You do kind of a new list every year. How do you figure out who goes on the list each year?
You know, it really is based on impact in that year. So there are repeats. People have been on the list multiple times. And yeah, there are some people, you know, like Scott Dupree, who you had on your show yesterday, I believe, could be on there every year because, you know, he really does make things happen for Raleigh as a sports host city. I do think when he won the first one, so that would have been 2017, I believe, he was number one. I think they won. He was number one on the first list, in part because he played as much of a role in awakening people to the NCAA tournament hosting implications of HB2. And really led to the pressure that led to the repeal of HB2 after the 2016 election into 2017 at the Final Four in Phoenix was really sort of the pivotal moment where Mark Emmert basically laid it out for the North Carolina people who were there that, you know, it was time to come to the table or we were going to miss out on that whole bid cycle. So, so I've been doing it since then, and it really is, like, who had the biggest impact in that year? Who represents what Triangle Sports was in that year? And that's why Armando was such a natural fit this year, not just because he's the best basketball player in the Triangle or the best basketball player in the ACC, but because he's taken so much advantage of what it means to be a college athlete in 2022. You know, a guy who in years past would have gone and played in the, you know, Turkish League or the Azerbaijani League or whatever, hoping to get an NBA shot someday, and instead is making as much money at Carolina, staying in Chapel Hill on a campus he loves, on a campus that loves him, and financially better shape than he would be playing overseas. So I thought he really represented a lot of trends in college sports and in the Triangle in a lot of ways. But it's a fun list to do, and it always is fun trying to find people who have maybe been overlooked a little bit, either in the course of the year or for what they've done. And you know, the five to watch for the next year, a lot of those have ended up on the next year's list eventually. I think, you know, Shaunkey Jackson at Wakefield has a potential to be, you know, the best American sprinter as she ages and gets older and you know, develops and could be in Paris in 2024 and wherever the 2028 Olympics are. I can't think that far ahead. But, you know, there's always interesting people like that who we don't talk about much, but, you know, someday could be household names, not just here, but everywhere.
Coaches, athletes, the president of U.S. Soccer, all on the list. Go check it out, a News and Observer. I like how you have Mike Forman on there. That's a great one because I think collectively as fans, we often say, oh, the Canes do a great job of this, this, and this. The Canes, as if the Canes is like some supercomputer spitting these things out. That's a great reminder that there are people behind these creative ideas and initiatives that making them happen. And Mike Forman, obviously one of those people. So great to see him on there. All right, speaking of Scott Dupree, one of the questions I asked him yesterday was if anybody in Raleigh had ever looked into having a bowl game, and he said, actually, yes. And he mentioned the marketing company behind a couple of the other bowl games that we would know that aren't, you know, long tradition, super famous, but that you would know them. They've been around for a while. There was some discussion, but, you know, it ultimately closed for a number of reasons. My question to you, do you think there's anywhere else in North Carolina that you think could, would, or should explore a bowl game? I know we can be funny and throw North Carolina brands out there and silly names, but like, would you get behind the idea of like Wilmington or I don't know, Asheville? I don't know, some cool location, or even Raleigh being a capital city trying to host a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be cool. I think, you know, it's just difficult when you look at hotels and facilities. The places that we might want to go aren't necessarily equipped for it. You know, we've done a little bit of that. Like, this doesn't get a lot of attention either, but, and it's not a huge game, but Durham County Stadium hosts the NAIA championship game, which is a really, really, really small school.
Sure.
And that's turned out to be a decent event for Durham the last 2 years. I mean, I think it would be kind of cool to have a game in the Triangle that rotates among the three stadiums. I mean, this is kind of obvious to me. If Duke's Mayo is a sponsor, the other brand that screams North Carolina and college football to me is Bojangles. It feels like there should be a Bojangles Bowl, and maybe that's becomes an FCS game or something like that. But if I were Bojangles, I think I'd want to be in the bowl business and do it here.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I'm sure there's been discussions about them as many times as the Charlotte sponsorship has changed hands, but that'd be cool. Since you're in Charlotte, I didn't know how to phrase this question, and maybe this is the worst way to phrase it. Who's closer to contending? Let's not even say a title. Who's closer to contending for a conference championship, the Hornets or the Panthers? I feel like coming into this season, you would have said there's more optimism about the Hornets, but the way the Panthers kind of ended, they look like they maybe are just finding a quarterback away from starting to be a playoff team. Who's closer to actually turning this thing around?
I mean, I think the Panthers are, only because they've benefited from a couple years of high draft picks. I think Sam Darnold can be that quarterback. I mean, if the Panthers are going to get good under Steve Wilks with the players they have now, it's going to be a defense-focused team. It's going to be a team that runs the ball. You know, it's a team that developed an identity under him. And it's an identity dictated in part by personnel. But Steve Wilks, unlike Matt Rhule, was smart enough to recognize that this was a peanut butter and jelly team, not a filet mignon team. And he's not trying to turn it into something it's not. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've been, let's not say successful, they've been moderately successful. But, you know, as someone who wrote in September that they were completely unwatchable, I said that there was going to be a point at some point in the future where the Panthers were watchable again. I did not expect it to be the end of December, but I think they are. They try hard. They compete. They know who they are and what they're trying to go out and do, which wasn't true under Matt Rhule. And I think Steve Wilks gets a lot of credit for that. Now, are they honestly close to contending for the NFC title? No. I mean, they're not a playoff team in any other division. They're not a playoff team in any other year. They just happen to have, you know, sort of tripped backwards into a potential playoff spot based on how awful their rivals happen to be. And they picked, they've won a couple games along the way to put themselves in this position, and they have a chance to win out and host a playoff game. That's not because they're one of the best teams in the league. It's circumstances. But that said, that can be a springboard to better things. And I was out here last summer, and people said I was crazy, saying, look, if you look at the first three games of Sam Darnold when he was healthy and had a functioning offensive line, I think he can be a decent, not a world beater, a decent NFL quarterback. And right now the Panthers are winning because they're playing a brand of football that only demands a decent NFL quarterback. And I feel like Sam Darnold can do that. He's just been hurt or, you know, overshadowed by, you know, the David Tepper's shiny objects, whether it's Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield or whoever. I think Sam Darnold's shown that he can do the job, and he's kind of been able to wash the Jets off himself.
Yeah, I can't remember his stat line. I don't have it in front of me now, but his stat line Sunday, last Saturday, I came in saying, that's what they need. Like, that is completely average NFL quarterbacking. It was like 15 and 22 for 250 yards, one touchdown, and no interceptions. Like, that's it. That's what the team needs from their quarterback.
Do no harm. Just be Trent Dilfer. Don't screw things up. And be that guy. Hand the ball off to Foreman and Hubbard, and, you know, throw short passes and make first downs and don't do stupid things. And then let your defense win the game for you. I mean, that's only within the realm of possibilities for the Panthers. Now, look, you're not going to beat everybody playing that way. You know, they lost to the Steelers because they're not going to go 17-0. They're a below-average football team that's been able to win some games. But that's good enough in this one year to potentially make the playoffs. And, you know, that's an opportunity that you still have a chance to see.
Luke Dukak of the News and Observer, check out his work. I regret to inform you, you missed nothing, nothing. The ball has stayed between the 30-yard lines the entire time that you've been in here. You can go back and catch the final series of the pack. Appreciate the time and have a great new year, man.
You got it. Happy New Year to you too, Hayes.